Torah says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end of last week's Sedra, after his mission is not successful, he comes to the Rabbanu Shel Olam with seemingly a complaint. Lama Hariyosu La'amazeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtoni. Why did you do bad to these people? Why did you send me all together? From the time I came to Paro, things got worse for the Jewish people. He didn't save them. So what was the purpose of my mission? Why have things gotten worse for them? This week's Sedra starts out by Yadaber Elokim El Moshe. Hashem speaks to Moshe as Elokim, Midas Hadin. And he tells him, I am Hashem, Midas HaRachamim. Simple idea. God says, don't worry, all that appears to be bad and harsh really is for a good purpose. It's all for the good. And the same God that you see as Elohim, but I'm also Hashem. Vo'era el Avram, el Yitzchok, ve'el Yaakov, ve'kel Shakai. And I appear to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov as Kel Shakai. That was the Nida, the attribute of mine that they saw. We'll explain all of this in a few minutes. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. But my name, Yudke Vavke, I didn't make known to them. That's somehow God's answer to Moshe's question. Why have you done bad to them? Why has things gotten worse? And he says to him on the surface that don't worry, the bad is really for the good. And the second thing Rashi says, he said to him, I promised the Avos many things, and they never saw the fulfillment of the promise. Not only that, they saw things that seemed to be the opposite, and they never complained. They never questioned me. And you, the first time I deal with you, right away things don't work out the way you thought they should, and you have complaints. It's too bad the Avos are lost. Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. It's too bad the Avos are lost and can't be found. Rashi, on the word vo'era, I appeared, adds two words. Vo'era el ha'avos. I appeared to the forefathers, to the Avos. Now the obvious question on this is, what was it necessary for Rashi to say that? What does the pasuk say? Vo'era el Avram el Yitzchok el Yaakov. Now obviously they were the Avos. Why does Rashi have to point out that Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov were the Avos? Does he think that we'd forgotten already who the Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov were? What was the purpose of saying that? Vo'era el ha'Avos. The pasuk says who God appeared to, and we know that they were the Avos. I don't need Rashi to tell me that. So in the past I've said a different idea, and maybe if there's time I'll tell you this, the original idea too, but this year I want to put forth a little bit different idea. I haven't yet worked it out completely, but I will use you as my sounding board and we'll see how this works out. There are Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Hayitzira, the book of creation, of formation, better even, formation. Sefer Hayetzirah. Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula. It's the book of redemption. And the Netziv from Valozhin, of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, sets out, he points out in his preface to Sefer Shmos that there is an opinion that the name of Sefer Shmos is Sefer Hasheni, the second book. Whereas all the other books have names. Sefer Hayitzira, Toras Kohanim, Chumash HaPikudim, Mishneh Torah. The second book is called the second book. Now, all the other ones could have been called the third, fourth, and fifth books too. Why is this one specifically second book? Because he says it is the second in order from Sefer Hayetzirah. It goes together with the first one. The whole idea of formation is potential, and that potential can be brought out then by redeeming that potential, and that's the second book. So the whole book of the second book, meaning the sequel to Sefer Hayetzirah, the Yetzirah, the completion of the world, wasn't complete until the Jewish people were redeemed. it wasn't complete until the Jewish people reached the level where they were redeemed and received the Torah, and God's presence devolved upon them, which is what Sefer Shmos is. That completed the first book. That was the completion of the creation, because the world was created for the sake of the Jewish people and the sake of the Torah. So the completion of the Sefer Yetzirah, of the book of formation, is the second book, which completes that, which basically brings out the potential that God created. And in that respect, the first book deals with the creation of potential. That's the name Elohim. When God created the world, He created it with Midas HaDin, Bereshis Bara Elohim, Es HaShamayim V'Es HaOretz. Midas HaDin means that here you create the wherewithal to be able in the next world to turn that into the potential to actualize it into the reward of Olam Haba. There are two periods in creation. There's the Hayom LaSosam Olam Hazeh, this world, where everything remains potential. You do mitzvahs, you learn Torah, and it all potentializes, right, your level, that in the next world, that's the time of receiving the reward. That's not the time for creating the reward, that's the time for receiving the reward. There's a time for creation of the reward, that's more a potential. And therefore reward in this world doesn't come to actualization much of the time. Schar mitzvah b'hayal malecha. There's no reward for mitzvahs in this world per se. All of it is to create more. What seems to be reward, says the Rambam, is just the opportunity to create more potential. It enhances the creation of potential. But it's not the actual reward. It's not the actualization, the realization of that potential yet. The next world, you realize the potential you created in this world. Now, in one respect, it says that when the time comes for the reward, it's not as precious to God as the time for the creation and the formation of that reward. Because in this world you have the fight between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov. There's free choice, and that really was the purpose of creation, to give human beings the ability to create the reward. When the actual reward comes and that fight is over, it's not as dynamic and not as exciting and not as precious to the Rabbanim Shem as the time that people were involved in that struggle and creating the reward itself. And the name Shakai, Sha'omar Li'olamo Dai, God created a finite world with definite parameters, because this world is the world of Elohim. Elohim means the God of nature. Elohim in Gematria is Hateva, nature, and it refers to God as the power of all power, the source of all powers. That's this finite world where you create potential, which is realized in an infinite way. That's the Shem Hashem. Yudke Vavke is God, infinite, above time. Hoya Hove Yiyeh, transcending time. That's the God of the reward of the next world. Yudke Vavke. This world, God is the Adon. He's the master. But there he functions within a finite, very bounded world. Boundaries. In the next world, there's no boundaries. Next world is unlimited. And I always like to give the example of how from a finite, bounded world you come to this total freedom and without any boundaries. It's like you have a room, but the room has no door, no way out. You're in this room. So you have a certain amount that you can, you know, traverse the room. There's one way out of the room. It's a crawl space that you can get to the outside. Once you get to the outside, you're unlimited. You have unlimited movement. You stay in the room, your movement is limited, but more than the crawl space. But if you can limit yourself, right, to the crawl space, you'll eventually get outside where there's no limitations at all. That's what Torah and mitzvahs are. We're in this world. This world has for sure limitations and boundaries. However, the Rabban Shalom said that there's a way from this world into a unlimited, an infinite world. But you have to limit yourself a little bit more. In order to get to that unlimited, infinite world, you have to go through the crawl space that is limited by Torah and mitzvahs. So you can't walk through the whole room that this world is. You have to be mitzamtzim, you have to limit yourself. But that limitation leads you to the total infinite unlimited. That's what Torah and mitzvahs. But if you don't go into that limitation, you remain in the room, you can remain in this room, you'll never get out. You'll be less limited, but you won't be free. The way to freedom is by limiting yourself even more. That's, I think, an example. In any case, so I think what Rashi is telling us is that God is explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the process of the development of the process of the development of history, which patterns itself a little bit after this world and the next world. In other words, Bereishis represents the creation of the potential of the Jewish people. That was done by the Avos. Avos doesn't just mean fathers, it means the foundation, the source, from which everything else emanates. The Tekufa of the Avos was the Tekufa of formation. Just like God formed the world, and then people function in the world and take the potential and actualize it, and that's called the world to come. So too, the history of the world went through a similar thing. There was a time where the formation of the potential was taking place. That happened till the end of the Tekufa of the Avos, which extended through Yosef. Because Yosef extended the Avos one more generation. Yosef was both the beginning of the Shvatim, right, of taking the potential and actualizing it, but he also was part of the potential making too. So until Yosef died, the Avos, the Tekufa of the Avos still existed. And that was basically part of Sefer HaYetzirah. That was part of the book of formation of creation. Because we were creating the foundation, the wherewithal, the source of all that later on the Jewish people would be able to realize. Sefer Shmos, the second book, takes all that potential and actualizes it, brings it out, redeems it. Redemption is actualizing the potential that's hidden inside and held inside, and bringing it out, l'maisa, to make the purpose of creation, which looks like the purpose of creation is the reward of the Olam Haba, the purpose of the Avos and the creation of these powers of the Jewish people, to bring it out. They should be the Jewish people, receive the Torah, and have God's presence devolve around them. However, to bring out that potential, you need energy. Right? To take something from the potential to the actual, you need some kind of energy to do it. And the energy to do it is many times a process of suffering. I think you can compare it to birth. To take the potential that was created from conception and that grows within the woman, but now you want to actualize that and bring a person into the world. So there's an idea of chevle leida, there's an idea of pain and of suffering, right? That is necessary in this finite world to actualize potential. Same thing, in order to bring out the potential of Mashiach, right? To bring the world from its initial stage of formation to the stage of realization and reward, which is the first stage of that, is Yemosa Mashiach, there's Chevli Mashiach. There's a lot of suffering that goes into bringing Mashiach. So, and then to bring Olam Haba, it says that the world's going to be destroyed and go through cataclysmic things. Right? So again, you always need this to bring out that potential, to actualize it. You need a lot of energy, and that energy a lot of times is suffering, pain, whatever it may be. Therefore, the Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu the following. I want you to know why I'm dealing with you differently than I dealt with the others. Why Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made promises and I never delivered on them, but you're going to be different. Because I appeared to them as Elohim, as Shakai. Their part in history was the part of formation, of creation. They were part of the creation of the wherewithal of the potential of the Jewish people. They were Avos. You're already the beginning of the second book, of taking that potential and realizing it and actualizing it. And therefore, Ani Hashem, I didn't appear to them as Hashem, as that infinite, limitless God who is giving the reward, who's bringing the potential to actualization. That's your time. This is Sefer Shmos. And therefore, I promised the Avos many things many times, and it's a shame that they're lost and can't be found. Now, the Avos aren't lost. We know where their bodies are buried, and we know where the Neshamas are. Where are they lost and can't be found? Based on what we said, the idea is that period of history called the Avos, and that's why Rashi points out, Vo'eiro el ha'Avos. He's explaining what God is trying to tell Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm trying to tell you that I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov not as individuals, and they, I didn't deliver on my promise, and you I am. Nothing to do with that. It's two different periods of history. Vo'eiro el ha'Avos. I appeared to them as Avos. Their period was Avos, the creation of potential. They were the source. They were the time of creation, the Sefer Bereishis. They're the promises weren't supposed to be made good on. They're the potential for eventually those promises being made good on were being created by them. And that period was very dear to me because that period, they didn't yet see the reward. So it was more of a struggle. Their struggle was a greater struggle because they never saw the realization of what they were struggling for. Just like this world is more precious to God than the next world because there's no struggle. There it's all reward. God feels the struggle is what really gives people something special. So it's more precious to Him. Therefore, it's a shame that that period of history is gone and won't be found again. It's gone. Not that the Avos are gone. The period of Avos is gone. That's what he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu. But you should know that you're now in part of the history where that potential, that Yetzirah, is going to come to its culmination and its actualization. The Jewish people are going to get the Torah. That was the purpose of the creation of this potential. And God is going to devolve on them in the Mishkan. So the whole world was created for this purpose. This is the goal. The goal is now coming. But it can't come easily. It gets worse. It's like birth. It's like a birth. And the closer you get to the birth, right, the more difficult it becomes. The more the chevle leda, the more the contractions are painful. So that's how God explains to Moshe Rabbeinu what's going on. He's not... what's it called, complaining against him. I really had good people that I told things and they never complained. He's explained to Moshe Rabbeinu what's going on. Why are things getting worse? You sent me, seemingly to people ready to be redeemed, and things get worse. He says, yes, because this is a birth. And before the birth, things get worse. Because that's the energy you need. That's the dynamic you need to take things from the potential to the to the actual. You need a lot of energy, and in a world that's less than perfect, some of that energy is painful. But that's how it works. So that's what the Rav Amram told Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. Until now, I've been Elokim. I've been the Creator, the one creating this finite world within which you create potential. Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. But now I'm becoming Hashem, which I never showed the Avos, that name. I showed them Kel Shakai, God who is the one who says to the world enough, makes the finite boundaries of the world within which you have to function. But if you can function within those finite boundaries, you create infinite reward. And you actualize that potential. That is what's it called, what the Rebbeinu Shem said. That's what he says. That's what Rashi says. I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, not as individuals. I appear to them as the period of Avos. And therefore, Chaval Da'avdin, that period's gone. And it won't be found again. And it's a shame. Because that was much more precious to me when they were going through this struggle and never saw the results. Now you're going to see the results. The struggle is going to be a little bit less because you're going to see something that you can rely on that happened. So it makes the struggle a little bit less. Anything that makes the struggle less makes it less precious. That's the idea. And everybody in their life has those two periods also. There's the period where you are creating the potential that you will actualize the rest of your life. And the period of the creation of that is your youth, usually. That's very precious. And as you begin to actualize it, and you see the results of the potential and the struggle that you made, it gets less precious because the struggle gets a little bit easier or whatever. It doesn't become easy until the next world, but it's what's called a little bit easier. Could be that's the reason we say that you should call the Torah lechupa lemaasim tovim. Why do we leave the maasim tovim to the end? Can a person do maasim tovim before the chupa? Of course you can. But the idea is the Torah is the time that a person creates the potential. Chupa represents the idea of creating the wherewithal to bring out that potential. Not only marriage, but it's because there's two kinds of marriage. There's marriage to a partner. There's marriage to your own, the first marriage a person has is to his own personality and character traits. And then to the ones that come from the outside to supplement and complement that. But only after that you begin to bring out the potential is the Maasim Tovim. So there's two periods in a person's life. There's the Torah, and then there's the Maasim Tovim, and the in-between is the chuppah, which helps to bring out that potential. So that's why Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, was like a chuppah. And the building of the Mishkan was like a chuppah. It was like Kedushin, because those were the things that helped to bring out the potential that Klal Yisrael worked on in the Tkufa of the Avos, in the Tkufa of Yetzirah. Okay, that's... get the idea a little bit. It's still very rough, but I think that there's something there. Okay. Completely different look at this Rashi. Now let me tell you what he said in the past, which is easier to understand. Okay, I just hope it doesn't erase completely what I just told you now, because it's a much easier pshat and it's completely different. The Rebbeinu Shem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu with a complaint. Many times I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, promised them things, never made good on my promise, just the opposite. They saw the opposite and they never complained. For instance, I told Avraham Avinu, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, your children are going to inherit it, and then he had to go buy for an exorbitant amount a place to bury his wife. He never complained, never questioned me. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time you questioned me. So on that, there's a question. What kind of Musar is that? What kind of Tochacha is that? There's a famous Maisa, Chassidish Maisa, with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said, I'm not afraid if after 120 years the heavenly court says to me, how come you weren't as great as the Baal Shem Tov? I'll just say, I didn't have the qualities of the Baal Shem Tov. I couldn't be that great. How come you weren't as great as the Rambam? I didn't have the qualities of the Rambam. You know what I'm afraid? They're going to say to me, Zusha, how come you weren't as great as Zusha? And that scares me, because that I did have the qualities for. So if that's the case, what do we learn from that, Maisa? That you can't come to somebody and say, how come you're not like so-and-so? I'm not that person. So what is the Rebbeinu Shem complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu? How come you're not like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Right? Moshe should turn around and say, I'm not Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That's not the way to give a person Musar. How come you're not like him? Because I wasn't created to be him. I'm created to be me. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu use that as a means give Moshe Rabbeinu Musar and Tochacha, rebuke him? Secondly, God says, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachim. It's a shame that those people are lost and can't be found. Two questions. First of all, are they lost? We know where they are physically, we know where they are spiritually. We're not lost. And secondly, if lost, obviously they can't be found. If they could be found, they wouldn't be lost. So why does it have to say the double? It's a shame that they're lost and can't be found. Why the double language? And the last question is what we asked before. Why does it say Vo'eru el ha'avos? Why did Rashi have to tell us that I appeared to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov as avos? So in this interpretation, yeah.
Avos
are the base.
So they bring out the...
Hold on a second. Yeah, 100%. Therefore, what I want to say is the following. Rashi's answering my question. Well, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick on Moshe because he's not like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? That's a valid question if he's comparing him to other individuals. But the avos were the source. They were the base. In certain areas, what the avos created exists by every Jew because they are the av, they're the source of every Jew. Not in everything, but certain qualities of the avos. Right? Avram Avinu's quality of chesed. Every Jew has that quality within him. It's genetic. It's part of the spiritual genetic pool, that gene pool that Avram Avinu created. We all have the koach of Gvura of Yitzchak and the emes of Yaakov. Those midos are the midos of the avos. And there's certain basic midos that the avos, rachmanim, baishanim, gomlei chasodim, is the basic character traits of the Jewish people. We are merciful. We are people who are capable of shame, to be embarrassed and ashamed if we do something that's wrong. And we are what's it called, gomlei chasodim. Those are also part of the midos that the avos gave us. That's what the Rambam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. If I just be comparing you to a bunch of individuals who are greater than you, that's not Musar and Tochacha. But Vo'eru el ha'avos, I appear to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov as avos. And therefore, that power to be able to believe and not question is part and parcel of every Jew. It passed on from the avos genetically to every Jew. And therefore, in you, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's lost and I can't find it. I should be able to find that power within you. And in you, I see it's lost. I can't find it. That power of the avos is lost in you. Not the avos are lost. The power of the avos, chaval al da'avdin, it's a shame that it's lost and can't be found in you. At least at this point. That's what the Rambam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Rashi had to say, vo'eru el ha'avos. That's why it's musar. That's why it's rebuke. Because if it was just comparing him to a bunch of individuals who are greater than him, it wouldn't be rebuke at all. But because they were avos, and that's what it means, chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachim. It's a shame that it's lost. The avos, the power of the avos is lost in you, and I can't find it. It's obviously not lost completely. It's there somewhere. But I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it brought out. That's the... That's another interpretation of that Rashi and why Rashi had to say Vo'eru el ha'avos. Okay, one time. Yeah, a few more minutes. Let's do something else here. There's a Sfarno. We know that there are Arba Lashonos of Geula. Okay, how exactly the four expressions of redemption, what they are exactly is a question, because there are many more expressions in that psukim. It says, V'hotseisi eschem, I'll take you out. The Hitzalti eschem, I'll save you from the work. The Goalti eschem, I'll redeem you. The Lakachti eschem, Li La'am, I'll take you as a nation. And then it says, V'idatem ki ani Hashem, V'hadeisi eschem ala'aretz. You'll know that I'm God, and I'll take you into the land. So there's like six different verbs over there. Why are only four of them counted? So the Vilna Gaon Taka says the four Lashonos of Geula are only the first three. The Hotseisi, the Hitzalti, the Goalti. Anything after the Goalti is post Geula. So the four Lashonos of Geula are just the first three. But how could three be four? Because the word the Goalti has two parts to it. The Goalti Eschem Bizroa Netuya Uvishvatim Gedolim. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. So there's two things. Outstretched arm, great judgments. So it's two geulas. So there's v'hotseisi, v'hitzalti, v'goalti, v'goalti. Two different kinds. That's how the Vilna Gaon learns. Others learn that Hotseisi, Vitzalti, Vigo'alti, but the culmination of the Vigo'alti isn't complete. That's the physical redemption. The spiritual redemption is Lakach Yeshem Vila'am. That's when you become really free, when you get the Torah. So those are the four Lashonos of Geula, because Geula ends when God takes us as His nation and He gives us the Torah. That's the culmination of Geula. That's why Pesach and Shavuos are connected. Pesach is the physical redemption, and Shavuos is the ultimate culmination of that and the spiritual redemption of the giving of the Torah. But then why aren't the Datem and the Hevesi counted? So the Netziv says the Datem is a much higher level. Right? Everybody had to go through these physical levels or whatever to Matan Torah. The Datem is a much higher intellectual, philosophical, esoteric level that not everybody has to do. That's why the fifth cup is voluntary. And that's connected with Datem, says the Netziv. Most say that the fifth cup is the Hevesi. I'll bring you into Eretz Israel. That never was completed because we were exiled. We never were there permanently. So the fifth cup is the Hevesi, which will happen when Eliyahu comes, so it's called Kol Shel Eliyahu. What do you do with the Vidatim? Says the Sfarno, the Vidatim is not another level. It's something that accompanies all the levels. And he says like this, if you let these events just pass over you, no pun intended, and you don't think into them, then they're not going to achieve ultimately what they could achieve. And you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael permanently. It's not going to be a permanent thing. But if you vidatim, you think and you contemplate as they happen, what do they mean? How does it affect me? Or whatever, then they see a similar arts and I'll bring you into Eretz Yisrael and it'll be permanent. But because they didn't contemplate, they didn't listen to Moshe because they were too bogged down with work and they couldn't really contemplate it, it never became eternal till the future when it'll become eternal. So the main thing is not what kind of experiences you have, even the greatest miracles, if you don't think into them and you don't ponder them and you don't take the lessons from them and you don't internalize it, then it doesn't have the full effect that it could have. And the end of the Sedra, it says that the people who feared God, when Moshe said, you should know that if you leave your cattle in the field, they're going to be smitten by the plague, then the people who feared God from Paro's servants brought their cattle inside. And the ones who didn't take it to heart, they left them outside and they were killed, the cattle. So the Medrash says the ones who feared God, that's Eov. Eov was one of the advisors to Paro, and he feared God. He brought his cattle inside. Asher lo sam libo, the one who didn't take it to heart, was Bilam. He also was an advisor. He left his cattle outside. It doesn't say Bilam didn't fear God. It said he didn't take it to heart. Meaning the problem with Bilam was they never thought. He had the same potential as Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu gave thought into everything God said to him, and he became Moshe Rabbeinu. And Bilam just let it pass over him, like water on a duck's feathers. And therefore, what's it called? The Chafetz Chaim says that. Later on in Parshas Balak, the prophecies of Bilam, the whole Parsha, has no paragraphs. Because the paragraphs were the time that Moshe had to review and think into what God told him. Bilam never reviewed and thought. He just, one thing after the other. And because of that, he ended up with a Bilam with the same potential as a Moshe, and Moshe ended up a Moshe with the potential of a Moshe.